Well, may the Lord bless us this evening as we continue our meditation in the Acts of the Apostles, and we'll consider this evening the first 8 verses in the 10th chapter. We read it together, so I won't go over it again. This is a wonderful account of this man Cornelius. Cornelius was an Italian, and he was in charge. Well, he was a centurion, he had 100 men under him, who were no doubt Italians, many probably coming from Rome. And we have a description of him, and it's a good description, and it's this: he was a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And that is a wonderful commendation to anybody. And it would be a wonderful thing for us tonight if that could be said of us. Each one of us, as we think of these words. Here was a man and an important character, somebody who no doubt was looked up to. And yet we read the wonder of this, that although he didn't clearly know the gospel, yet he was a believer in God, and he prayed to God, and he was devout in the things that he did. They weren't just things that he did now and again. He was constantly involved, clearly, in the things of God. And he was devout. That's good for us today. If we are devout in our religion, it's not something we just pick up on a Sunday, and it comes to Sunday night and we put off, and then we get into the world on Monday and we're pleased to be in the world. This man was a worshipper of God, and he was a devout man. And how good it is if it can be said of us that we are devout in the things of God. That means that we're really serious about them, and they really take the preeminence in our lives, not something that we just add on to suit ourselves. And so he was a devout man, and that he feared God. He feared God. Well, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What a blessing it is if we are brought to that place where we fear God. We may fear God in two ways. We may fear God because we feel guilty, and we feel that we are a just cause for condemnation, and that we fear that because of our evil heart and the sins that we commit, we shall be cast into hell. And there will be no hope for us. We shall spend eternity in that terrible place. Well, that is indeed a fear. And then we can also have a fear that we fear to offend God. We desire to please God. And we may be upset when we do those things which are not good and right. And therefore, we are amongst those who do truly fear God. So then, not only was he a devout man, one that feared God, and we're told he wasn't by himself, he wasn't an individual, all his house. And we can take that to be conclusive insofar that it was not just his family, it would have included his family, but also his servants and those that abode with him in his house. Well, that's a good testimony as well, to be able to count that. That all our house fear God. They all walk in the same way. They all desire to worship the same God. And so here was another condemnation. All his house. It would seem therefore from that he would have perhaps led worship in the house, perhaps read and prayed in the house, perhaps sang psalms in the house, and to set a good example to his family and his servants and all those that abode in his house. Well, not only that then, but also then, he gave much alms. Alms, of course, is giving away goods. And the word of God really is very instructive to us in this matter. The Lord, we're told that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, not a stingy giver, but a cheerful giver. We don't want to be found giving because we have to, but giving because we want to. And again, we should give as we're able. I believe the word of God clearly indicates to us that we shouldn't give less than a tenth of our income, and if we're able to, we can give more. And so this man here was one that gave much alms. Perhaps he gave a lot more than the tenth. And he gave it away. And he gave it as unto the Lord. Much alms to the people. And then last, he prayed to God always. The Apostle Paul speaks to us in the Thessalonians about praying without ceasing. Well, it's a good thing, isn't it, if prayer is our life, our spiritual life. As we live in this world, we need to breathe, don't we? If we don't breathe, well, there's no life, we die. And it's the same, really, with prayer. You know, prayer is the breath of the Christian. It is life. And if we don't pray, we die. It's a good thing, then, that we are found praying to God. And here we have this statement about this man here. This man, Cornelius, he prayed to God always. So we have in just a few words, a wonderful testimony, and a testimony that we should seek to follow and desire that we might be given the same ability to be devout, to fear God with all our house, and to give much alms, and to pray to God always. And let's remember that, especially you young people. Remember this second verse in the 10th chapter of the Acts. If you want any instruction as to how to organise your life, what to do, follow this man Cornelius. Now, something wonderful was to happen in this man's life. He was to see a vision. And it was about the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the morning, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe. 3 o'clock in the afternoon in our time. And he saw this vision. And it was an angel of God coming into him and speaking to him by name, Cornelius. Samuel had God speak to him, didn't he? Samuel. It's good, you know, when we perhaps may think and realise that God is speaking to us, speaking to our heart, individually, personally, because our religion is personal, and we do need God to speak to us and to know that we are a true worshipper of the true God, and the Lord Jesus is mindful of us. And so we're told here, he came and he spoke to him and he said, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Well, we can understand, can't we? If an angel came and spoke to us in a physical way, we might well tremble. We might well be afraid and fearful as to what tidings the angel might bring to us. We might feel very guilty. We might feel very cast down. We might feel very fearful of what an angel might speak to us. Perhaps words of condemnation. But no, this angel came and spoke to this man Cornelius in an encouraging way. He spoke like this, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now then, he wasn't praying to the unknown God, was he? And we want to pray to the true God, to the living God, believing that our prayers do enter in, that our prayers are heard. The Lord does hear our prayers. We don't want to pray in vain. And so he was spoken about that, and then he was given an instruction. And he was told to send men to Joppa, and to call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now we finished, of course, our last meditation in the ninth chapter, where we were told that Peter went and dwelt with one Simon, a tanner. Now, a tanner wasn't a very pleasant place to be. It was a very unpleasant place, because there was all the smell of rancid fat and all the scrapings of the skins and perhaps carcasses of animals. It wouldn't have been a very pleasant place. But nonetheless, here was Peter with Simon, this Simon a tanner. And so here now is Cornelius told to go and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he's told where he lives. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Well, that was very clear instructions for this man Cornelius. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, so the angel went, and what did Cornelius do? Do you think he sat down and thought, well now, what do I make of that? Should I obey what is said, or should I forget all about it? No, Cornelius realized it was a word from God. My friends, if you and I are blessed with a word from God, we should obey that word from God. And here was Cornelius then. What did he do? He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. So not only did we have his household who were devout, but also at least one of his soldiers was also a devout man. He called for these three people and he told them, when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now it's good, isn't it, if we're able to tell people what God has said and what God has done. Yes, he didn't mumble, he didn't prevaricate, he told them very clearly what had happened and what they had to do. And so they didn't stop the next morning, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the ninth hour. Well, we'll follow on next week, God willing, and we'll see the situation there, how that all the things worked out for good. They all dovetailed in. It was a wonderful blessing to realise that when God works, everything works together. And so we can thank God tonight for this account of Cornelius, and to realise how favoured he was, and to desire that you and I in our lives might be favoured in like ways, to be able to set a good example and to remember the life and how this man Cornelius lived. Amen.